Hey everybody, this is Brandon Scott, and I am the fandom pastor. As a big nerd, I guess, I recognize that God is connected to everything in our world, and this includes fandoms. So fandoms are the fans of a particular person, a team, a fictional series, all of those different groups that are identified together as a deep love or passion about a particular subject. Now, specifically, I'm looking at more of the nerdy side of things. So these are the Potterheads, the Harry Potter fans, the Trekkies, the Broadway fans, and more. God is connected to everything. And so join me as we see how God is connected everywhere. Understand that the first 46 episodes were recorded for YouTube. And so it's only 47 and after that are geared specifically towards the podcasting. So thanks, God bless, and glad you can join us. Hey everybody, this is Pastor Brandon with our next episode of The Fandom Pastor. If you've been here before, welcome back. If you're just joining us for the first time, so glad you can make it. So remember, if you would, give me a like, give me a share on these. I'd really appreciate it. So this week, we start something new. We are doing a whole new series. As much fun as I had with the Kaiju, this one's actually almost a little bit more fun just because it's so much more unique. It's so much more different. So this week, we start a series on cult films. So a cult film, a cult classic, you may have heard it called. It's a film with a cult following. You know, it's usually something a little more obscure, something a little less mainstream. It's sometimes ironically enjoyed. It's just a far more unique film than would be traditionally shared. And very, very often, it's ones that, when originally released, do not do well, and it's not until later that those films actually become so much more popular. An example might be, how many of you enjoy the film A Christmas Story during Christmas? Well, technically that started out, although it's become more mainstream, that became a cult film. Because originally, when it came out, no, it really did not do well at all. So it's on the edge of being a cult film because it's become very much more mainstream. But that would be kind of that heading, that idea of it. So cult films are really more defined by the audience, the fans, rather than it is about the film itself. So it's just, there are some really fun ones. And what I did was, I put out a call on Facebook and asked my friends, hey, what are your favorite cult films? Now, there are far, far more than what I'm going to be sharing in our series here, but we will be looking at a lot of them. And if you have any cult films that you really loved and you want to see how it all connects to God and to our faith, shoot a message to me. Let me know which one you really enjoy, and I'll see what I can do. Now, one of the things is a lot of the cult films are usually maybe a little more dark. So you have a lot of R-rated ones, you have a lot of horror ones, and so I kind of stayed away from those a little bit. There is a couple I'm going to touch on, but just understand that these are not necessarily films for everyone, especially when you're looking at your younger audience. So just be aware of that. All right. So this one was offered up. And if you remember the clue from last time, I asked you to share with me what, or this particular actor playing the title character is also famous for playing a certain cyborg cop. So the actor is Peter Weller, who famously played RoboCop, of course, And the movie we are talking about is The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. Now, I've linked the trailer below, and so this will give you a chance to take a look at that trailer, see what it's maybe kind of sort of about. So that trailer will either encourage you to watch it or wonder how it became a movie in the first place. I don't know. And that's usually, again, a good sign of a cult film. So it's going to be hard, but I'm going to give you a very, very quick rundown of the film. I will be perfectly honest. I had not watched this until it was offered up as a suggestion. So I went ahead and watched it. It is different. It's not one of my favorites, but I can certainly see the appeal. So a quick rundown. Buckaroo Banzai is a physicist, a neurosurgeon, a test pilot, and a rock star. And along with his band, the Hong Kong Cavaliers, they are kind of in this battle to the death between the evil red aliens from the eighth dimension and the good black aliens who are there as well. The aliens are led by John Worfen, which all of the red aliens, and the black aliens actually are in these camouflage that makes them look human, but all of the red aliens are, their first name is John. That's just something that they even mentioned. But, so the bad aliens led by this John Worfen, he's taken over the body of this Italian scientist, Dr. Emilio Lizardo, which I'm not going to say who it is, but you'll recognize who he is very quickly, the actor. Then these aliens are trying to get this thing called the Overthruster back from Buckaroo Banzai. They're trying to steal this Overthruster. But the good aliens they're good, but they're actually willing to destroy the Earth rather than to let these red aliens get this Overthruster. And so it's how they all kind of pass through and interlink, and it's, let's be honest, it really just scratches the surface of this film. Like I said, take a look at the trailer. You might, if you got a couple hours, you might check out the film. It is certainly an interesting one. So what I want to focus on for this particular episode is there's a famous quote that Buckaroo Banzai says at one of the concerts. And he says, "No matter where you go, there you are." Now, the question is then, what does that mean? What does that actually mean? Well, to me, it means that if you don't like yourself or you haven't made peace with yourself for, say, things that you've done in your past, you'll be dealing with that baggage forever. So many people say that, you know, I hate this city I'm living in. I hate this area I'm living in, and I'm going to move away. As soon as I can, I'm moving away. And sometimes they do, but what happens? What happens? If they do move away, they're still unhappy. They still struggle. They still have issues because even though they move, their geography has changed, but the constant is them. The constant is they are always there. So once all that newness, all that excitement of the new place kind of wears off, they're still struggling with that same issue, that same problem of them, of whatever that issue might be. So, you know, we still dislike people. We still hate work. We're still angry about this thing. We're still struggling with this issue. Just because your geography changes doesn't mean that your issues change. You know, we still binge eating. We still drink too much. We do drugs. Whatever it is, that issue still exists. So if we don't change anything about ourselves, our personal selves, not our geography, It goes wherever we go. That issue still goes with us. So you might think that changing your location, well, that I need a new perspective. Okay, that's wonderful, but are you really changing anything about yourself? And it's about changing your heart, changing who you really are. And let's be honest, changing your heart is a huge theme in the Bible. It's everywhere in the Bible. Constantly, all the way from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the idea of changing hearts is a constant. And I feel like this is really what it's talking about. We have to change ourselves, change our hearts to truly find happiness. And God is willing to do that for us, but we have to go to Him first. Ezekiel 36:26 says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So if you're unhappy with life, it's not your physical life that needs to really change, but your heart. You are the change that needs to be made. Now understand that your definition of happiness will also change as your heart changes. That's what's so interesting about this. That by changing our heart, by going to God and having Him help us change our heart, our whole perspective really does change. You're looking for a new perspective, God changes that. But it's not the outward one necessarily, it's the inward one. And it will change how you see the outward and the physical perspective. It makes us reevaluate. It changes our heart. You know, those things that you thought meant happiness don't really matter anymore. Wealth and material things, they really don't really matter that much anymore. We've replaced that part of the heart, or maybe the whole heart itself, with a new perspective, a new outlook. We look at the people that are around us. We look at our surroundings. We look at everything differently. Because while we changed our heart, the heart is such an intricate part of the body. It's also such an intricate part of our spiritual life. And because our heart's so connected, our physical heart's so connected to all of our physical body, our spiritual heart is as well. And it spreads out and it changes everything else within you. The God of life means so much more, and He can help us see that. So remember, no matter where you are, there you are. And be the best you that you can be. So I just thought that was really an interesting perspective on it, because again, I'd never watched the film before. I'd never seen it. And so it's how we change our outlook, how we change our perspective, and how we really see the world and the importance of it. So join me in a couple weeks as we continue our series on cult films. And so our clue for next time, this is, again, kind of become more of a mainstream one, although initially it did not do very well. So, my clue for next time is, this film helped to redefine what marriage really is. Thanks, God bless, and you all have a great rest of today and the next couple weeks till I see you again.